KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Still hanging around 63 degrees here this morning at the KJN studios. We look for partly to mostly sunny skies today with south winds at 5 to 10 and a high near 83. Tonight, mostly clear, light and variable breeze and a low around 61. Should be beautiful weather here this Labor Day weekend. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in-state and local news on KJAN. News brought to you this hour by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports two arrests on Friday evening. At 6:19 p.m., deputies arrested 26-year-old Nicholas Allen Philby of Red Oak at the intersection of Highway 34 and L Avenue. Philby was charged with possession of a controlled substance. He was taken to Montgomery County Jail and held on $1,000 bond. Deputies were assisted by the Montgomery County Canine Unit. And at 7:37 p.m., Montgomery County deputies arrested 34-year-old Kyle Anthony Ziegler of Red Oak in the 100 block of West Coolbaugh Street. He was arrested on a valid arrest warrant for theft in the fifth degree. Ziegler was booked into the Montgomery County Jail and held on $300 cash bond only. And police in Red Oak were called at around 10:20 p.m. to the Legion Park football field for the report of an intoxicated man. Arriving officers found 36-year-old Quint Scott Swanberg of Red Oak in an alleged state of intoxication. Swanberg was given the chance to take a preliminary breath test but refused. He was taken into custody and transported to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center where his bond was set at $300. KJAN News Time is 8:01.
From coughs and colds to managing chronic conditions, the Atlantic Medical Center is here to care for you throughout your life. Our team of board-certified primary care providers includes physicians, physician assistants, and nurse practitioners who have specialized in family medicine and obstetrics and gynecology. At Atlantic Medical Center, we offer same-day appointments, and we have early morning and evening hours. We're open on Saturday mornings, too. Our clinics in Anita, Griswold, and Messina also provide care that's close to home for our patients. Whether you need to schedule a well-child exam or you're feeling under the weather, to make an appointment, please call 712-243-2850 or visit us online at casshealth.org. The Atlantic Medical Center is a proud part of Cass County Health System, where we are neighbors caring for neighbors.
In other local news, Fremont County Sheriff's officials say deputies responded around 11:34 a.m. Wednesday to the scene of a woman who had died at a residence in the 300 block of Washington Street in Thurman. 18-year-old Anna Marie Joy Courtier of Tabor was found dead inside the home. At this point in the investigation, authorities say her death does not appear to be suspicious in nature, and no one is actively being sought in connection with her death. An autopsy was performed at the state medical examiner's office in Ankeny, but the cause and manner of death are being withheld, pending completion of the autopsy report. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation, Fremont County Sheriff's Office, and Iowa State Medical Examiner assisted with the investigation. Authorities say no other information will be released at this time. The Iowa Army National Guard says it's sending two helicopters and 11 soldiers to the Houston area to help out in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. The Guard says two CH-47F Chinook supply helicopters would deploy Friday, along with soldiers from Boone, Davenport, and Johnston units. Texas requested the aid under the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, an agreement between all 50 states, two territories, and Washington, D.C., to assist one another in times of crisis. Colonel Greg Hapgood with the Iowa National Guard says the soldiers are expected to remain on flood duty for about 2 weeks. Officials with the Monsanto Front Friday night presented the Atlantic Community School District officials with a ceremonial check for $25,000. The funds are from the Grow Rural Education Program that allows eligible farmers to nominate their local public school district for grants to help enhance STEM education. Since 2011, the program has given over $9 million to rural school districts. Once nominated, school districts submit applications to compete for $10,000 or $25,000 grants to help fund projects that enhance their STEM curriculum. Sular Principal James Northwick and fifth grade teacher Delana Harris applied for the grant. And at the presentation before the football game, Trojan Public Address announcer Steve Anderson explained how those funds will be used for the Atlantic District.
Tonight's grand award of $25,000 will be used by the district to create an elementary science lab for fourth and fifth graders at Schuller Elementary. On hand to present this award is Ted Wallace and Nick Muller, both district sales managers for Monsanto. Receiving the award for the school district this evening are members of the administration and staff at Schuller Elementary, who completed the application, as well as local farmers who nominated the school for the award. Please join us in congratulating these individuals for their hard work and support of the district that led to the receipt of this grant, and to the Monsanto Fund for providing these opportunities for rural school districts.
In general, the grants are used to help improve test scores, but more importantly, according to Monsanto officials, they're getting kids to think bigger about tomorrow. And a couple of other area school districts picked up grants as well. Coon Rapids Bayard got $10,000, and the Mount Eryx Community School District also received a $10,000 grant. As of Friday, Crossroads of Western Iowa has expanded into Atlantic by officially merging with Cass Incorporated. Rita Homily, Community Engagement Manager with CWI, says it's an exciting time for both organizations.
And the main reason for the merger is so we can expand our service area and offer more programs to individuals.
Homily says the transition between Cass Incorporated and Crossroads has been smooth and seamless.
Transition's been great. I think nowadays it's all about partnerships and collaborations. And I think, too, as a nonprofit, you learn very quickly you can't do everything on your own or by yourself. You need help from other nonprofits. And exactly. Cass Incorporated came to Crossroads and, you know, had a couple of meetings, or a lot of meetings, I guess, and figured out that by bringing the two organizations together, we're just going to be much stronger in providing those services to individuals in need.
Crossroads of Western Iowa is a nonprofit organization devoted to supporting adults in the community who, for various reasons, are unable to live completely on their own. Most have some sort of disability, brain injury, or serious mental illness. Cass Incorporated had a similar purpose and function.
Their focus is on empowering adults with disabilities, chronic illness, and brain injury. And both organizations do this through employment opportunities, training, getting individuals out into the community, community integration, day hab programs, residential living. So anything that we can do to help an individual become a little more independent, we do.
The newly combined organization will use the Crossroads of Western Iowa name. Their CEO is Brent Dellinger. And Glenda Ferrier, CEO for Cass Incorporated for the past 28 years, will retire this month. She will continue to work on special projects for Crossroads through January of 2018. And you can find out more information about their organization by visiting explorecrossroads.com, or you can contact Rita Homily at 712-216-2345. The family of an Atlantic woman who passed away in March as a result of injuries she suffered during a December 2016 accident in Nebraska has established a nursing scholarship in her name. Cindy Harlan Breen, the daughter of Joan and Keith Harlan, says the Joan Harlan Memorial Nursing Scholarship was established in honor of all the exceptional nursing care she received while being treated for her injuries. A memorial fund for nursing scholarships in her name will be administered through Iowa Western in Atlantic. Friends of the family and community members are invited to contribute to the Joan Harlan Memorial Nursing Scholarship. Donations under the endowment program can be in any amount. All funds will be submitted to Iowa Western Community College Foundation, a 501c3 tax-deductible entity. Iowa Department of Human Services Director Jerry R. Foxhoven on Friday announced that he has appointed Jerry A. Ray as superintendent of the Glenwood Resource Center. Iowa has two resource centers that provide a full range of active treatment and habilitation services to individuals with severe intellectual disabilities. The resource centers at Glenwood in southwest Iowa and Woodward in the north central part of the state support individuals to live safe, successful lives in the home and community of their choice. Dr. Ray was awarded a PhD from the University of Kansas in Child Development and Child Psychology in 1996. He also holds a master's degree in special education from the University of Kansas and a bachelor's of science in psychology from the Oregon College of Education. And he has 13 years of experience as superintendent at Parsons State Hospital and Training Center in Kansas, was also their program director and manager for a time period, and he was also superintendent for both the Parsons and the Osawatomie State Hospital and Rainbow Mental Health Facility for a time in Kansas. And police in Creston say a Ringgold County man turned himself in Thursday afternoon on a Union County warrant for probation violation and an Adair County warrant for failure to appear in court. 30-year-old Sean William Tyndall of Mount Air appeared in the Union County Law Enforcement Center and was booked into jail and held on $5,300 bond. And a Creston man residing in the 500 block of North Cherry Street in Creston reported to police Thursday morning that sometime between 6:13 a.m. and 6:48 a.m. Thursday, someone slashed three tires on his vehicle. The incident happened while the vehicle was in the Super 8 Motel parking lot. The loss was estimated at $400. And taking a look now at world news headlines here this hour. 1 week after Harvey roared into the Gulf Coast, Houston residents still face a lack of drinking water, fires at a stricken chemical plant, and funerals for some of the mounting toll of victims. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner says some thousands of flooded homes could stay that way for another 2 weeks due to ongoing releases of water from two reservoirs. He told residents that if they stayed and later needed help, first responders' resources could be further strained. President Donald Trump says Harvey has profoundly affected our entire nation, and he's praising what he calls heroic efforts in the wake of the devastating storm. Trump is carrying a message to victims as he prepares for his trip Saturday to Houston and Lake Charles, Louisiana. As he says in his weekly radio address, "We are with you every single step of the way. We will help you recover. We will help you rebuild. We will support you today, tomorrow, and the day after." One of Harvey's victims is being remembered for his happy-go-lucky nature and generosity. Cousins and uncles gathered Friday evening at a funeral home to mourn Benito Juarez Cavazos, who died in the floodwaters. Maria Cavazos says her cousin was dedicated to his job at an auto body shop and was trying to get to work Tuesday when his car got stuck in a ditch. The service for Cavazos was one of the first for Harvey's 42 known victims. 10 House Republicans say it would be wrong to deport hundreds of thousands of young immigrants who were brought into the country illegally as children. The lawmakers have written a letter to Speaker Paul Ryan saying Congress should act on the issue. President Donald Trump is expected to make a decision next week. And President Trump is pledging $1 million to help victims of Harvey. Just who will get that money and when hasn't been decided. The White House is even asking reporters to suggest worthy recipients for the president's money, which is expected to come from his personal fortune. Such a donation would be one of the largest ever from a president. That's a look at the news, so we'll take a look at funeral announcements next. News time, 8:12.
At Cass County Health System, we're here for the surgery that matters most, yours. When you need surgery, it can feel overwhelming. That's why we do everything we can to create a positive experience for you to get you back to great health. Our team of nurses and board-certified surgeons understand that you'll have questions and concerns, and they are ready to take time to discuss your surgery and recovery with you. As part of CCHS, our primary care providers work closely with our surgeons, monitoring your health before and after any procedures. And if you need physical or occupational therapy, our full-time therapists are on-site for inpatient and outpatient needs. Best of all, we're close to home so that your loved ones can be nearby throughout your stay. At Cass County Health System, you'll know that you are in capable, caring hands because we are neighbors caring for neighbors.
In our funeral announcements, Bill Bankin, age 79, of Messina, died Wednesday at the Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab in Anita. Funeral services for Bill Bankin will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at First Lutheran Church in rural Wyota. Steen Funeral Home Messina has arrangements. Ann Nelson, age 66, of Elkhorn, died Wednesday at her home in Elkhorn. Celebration of Life services for Ann Nelson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has the arrangements. Linda Jean Teetsort, age 70, of Irwin, died Monday at home. Funeral services for Linda Jean Teetsort will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Larry Schaefer, age 70, of Atlantic, died Thursday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Larry Schaefer will be held today at 11 a.m. at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Joan Esther Brendel, age 86, of Avoca, died Tuesday at home. Funeral services for Joan Brendel will be held today at 11 a.m. at Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Marilyn A. Chesnut, age 83, of Anita, died Wednesday at her home in rural Anita. Funeral services for Marilyn Chesnut will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Judith Martha Sohegan, age 75, of Greenville, South Carolina, formerly of Portsmouth, died August 23rd. Funeral services for Judith Martha Sohegan will be held Tuesday at 10 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Helen Johnson, age 94, of Lewis and formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Exira Care Center. A celebration of life prayer service for Helen Johnson will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Laverne P. Schmidt, age 93, of Audubon, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Laverne Schmidt will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Onita Bridger, age 94, of Torrance, California, formerly of Griswold, died January 16th in Torrance. Graveside services for Onita Bridger will be held on Tuesday at 1 p.m. at St. John's Cemetery near Lyman. And Reek and Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has local arrangements. Becky Tucker, age 54, of Panora, died Wednesday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Cremation has taken place. A visitation for Becky Tucker will be held Wednesday from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Tweeg Funeral Home in Panora with a short prayer service at 7 p.m. Betty Lippincott, age 89, of Panora, died August 17th at the New Homestead and Guthrie Center. Cremation has taken place. A visitation for Betty Lippincott will be held September 8th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Tweeg Funeral Home in Panora. Liana Christensen, age 94, of Harlan and formerly of Kimbleton, died August 24th. A celebration of life service for Liana Christensen will be held on September 9th at 10 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Kathleen Ortiz, age 78, of the Orient area, died Wednesday at her daughter's home in Altoona. A mass of Christian burial for Kathleen Ortiz will be held September 16th at 10:30 a.m. at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. And Neil Webke, age 64, of Irwin, died Friday at Mertu Memorial Hospital in Harlan. Services for Neil Webke are pending at OD Funeral Home in Kimbleton. That's your news and funeral announcements on KJN, brought to you this hour by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.